Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yes, sir.
And the world is still buzzing over Kevin Durant's legendary performance tonight, a 49-point triple-double, giving the Nets a 3-2 lead over the Bucks. Meanwhile, Giannis, even though he had a good night statistically, the Bucks gave this game away for a bunch of different reasons, and I'll tell you what, we got a big sobering truth that could be coming your way about Giannis in a couple of seconds. You watch the Bucks offense basically turn into, hey, the Nets are coming back and we can't stop Kevin Durant. So why don't we just give Giannis the ball at the top of the arc and see what he can do? And we watch the Nets continue to eat into the Bucks lead. You get to the final minute, Giannis is missing free throws. They give him a pass underneath that's going to tie the game with 10 seconds left in the game. He fumbles the ball and can't make the play. The Nets get it. They hit free throws, and the Nets wind up winning 114-108. This play is now the one that defines Giannis and the playoffs and the last couple of years for the Bucks.
Middleton working in the paint. Leaves it off for Giannis. Lost it. Reed knocked it loose, and Durant kicked it out, and the Bucks commit a foul with 15 seconds to go.
Nets Radio Network on the call. Not so much he got knocked out as he just lost the handle on the ball. And, Mike, look, I know it's, you know, you don't want to be prisoner of the moment with things, but the show is tonight, and you're looking at two stars tonight that clearly have two different skill sets when it comes to closing down games and being great players, right? You have Kevin Durant, who is the closer in the NBA, right? We talked about it with Rick Bucher a few minutes ago. There's a reason why Kevin Durant has the NBA titles and the NBA Finals MVPs, because he is that guy. The more you watch Giannis in a night like tonight, where he's all over the place with points, he's all over the place with impact on the game, both physically, athletically, but at the end of the game, you can't go to him. He's not KD. He's not a guy that in a tight playoff game you can keep giving him the ball time after time and get hoops. You just can't do it. And all the best players in the NBA can do it. You can live like this in the regular season if you're the Bucks, because, you know, it's game one of 82. And boy, here's Giannis all over the stat sheet tonight. He had 35. He was 12 and 10. We just couldn't stop him. But in the playoffs, when you are designed to stop a player, you are designed to win a game a specific way, because we see the uptick defensively, the Bucks can't just give the ball to Giannis and say, go make a play. Can't do it. He's not that guy. Watching tonight, seeing him all the different times at the top of the key, Giannis missing, not making shots. Now, he made shots. I'm not saying he didn't. He did make some shots in the fourth quarter and when we're getting to crunch time, but you can't give it to him like you can give it to Kevin Durant and expect it to happen, right? You can't give it to him like you give it to Trae Young and expect Trae Young to hit shots that way. You just can't do it. So when I watch a game like tonight, and especially see him fumble the ball out of bounds, but not only that, you had the two missed free throws, which were incredibly huge. Mm-hmm. I go, you know what? I don't know that it's about somebody teaming up with Giannis and being the 1A. Giannis might wind up being the better 1A to somebody else's 1, because when it comes to the end of games, somebody else is taking shots. And look, when it's Chris Middleton, you're not going to win that many games. You need a big time player if you are going 1-2, right? It's got to be LeBron and AD kind of situation. Because I watch Giannis and go, can you really still say we're going to build a supporting cast around him? Or do you have to say, you know what, Giannis, you need somebody else that's really, really good that can take big shots at the end of games and maybe take over for you? Because I don't know that I look at him and say he's going to win a championship if he's a 1. I don't know that he can. I mean, I think the best case scenario for him would be maybe at some point, does he have a 1 Dirk Nowitzki type year where, hey, everything lays out for him and he has an incredible playoff like he did when he eliminated the Lakers in a sweep and he goes on and wins the NBA title? I mean, maybe that happens for him, but the other stars in the game are just too good. They all take over games at the end, and he just can't do it. So instead, we might be asking the wrong question. Instead of, hey, who can go play with Giannis, it's, well, who should Giannis play with, whether it's on the Bucks or somebody else, where the other player who comes in has to be somebody that can do things a little bit more and way more down the stretch in a game.
Well, they can run the offense. I mean, we were talking about it before, just with Giannis, it was dump into him, and then everybody stood around. And, you know, that goes on. Holiday, that goes on. Middleton, P.J. Tucker was a non-factor offensively. Not that he's usually a huge contributor, but, you know, when you play 33 minutes and you give a big fat goose egg, that's not helping the cause. For Giannis, the other part was, and he's already addressed it in the postgame, well, why weren't you on Kevin Durant trying to slow down him and his onslaught, right? Eventually, yes, Giannis fouled out with 6.5 seconds remaining, but it's that two-way energy expenditure thing that we've talked about in the past. I don't get it. So that part, still, that's a Budenholzer, explain this to me like I'm 5 years old kind of moment. But to your point about Giannis, in theory, that's what you brought Holiday in for, right? That you had a point guard that could distribute, and that's not how you ran your offense. So part of it is just the philosophical side of it with Budenholzer, with Giannis, of, all right, what are we doing? Because if he's not working down on the low block, he's kind of in no man's land, right? Because that 15-footer's not consistent enough. And anytime he starts to start raining threes, you can see the images of Philip Seymour Hoffman in your head. I mean, it's just there. Because sometimes he gets on a little bit of a roll, but for the most part, it's going to be off. And the free throw line is its whole other adventure. But to your larger point, yeah, I think it's you need a star with him. Not a good player, not a very good player, another star who can become the one you have to double, because they don't have that guy on that roster right now to free Giannis up to go into more one-on-one coverage. It's not to bury him. Two-time MVP, a bunch of accolades. You know, he's all first team, all NBA defense today. So that's great. And, you know, all of the accolades are there, and we talked about the regular season, but they are two separate seasons. And once the defense starts flowing, I mean, Holiday, reading some of the quotes coming out of his press conference, all he's done is complain about the referees all night. How's that going to help you going forward?
Yeah. No, look, it's needing that star is what it is. I mean, you win. We talk about this in the NBA playoffs. Who's winning? The teams that win are the teams that have the most stars. So, okay. Now, tonight was KD and James Harden. Really, Harden didn't do a lot in the box score, but he did a lot in opening up the floor for Kevin Durant, which allowed him chances to go for his legendary night. But it's about stars. And if Giannis was with, you know, if Giannis had Chris Paul, or if Giannis had another point guard, if it was Giannis and Donovan Mitchell, if it was Giannis and Devin Booker or something like that, oh, you talk about how unstoppable a duo that would be. But it's a star. Because, you know, look, Middleton and Holiday, as you said, they're nice players, right? They're good players. I like them a lot. They're both really good players. But is that enough? Is that going to be? No, you need stars to win. All teams win that have multiple stars. That's how it works in the NBA now. You know, that's why when we talk about who the favorites are, everybody defaults to the Nets. Why? They got three big stars. What's going to default to the Lakers? Why? They have two big stars. The Clippers, they have a couple of big stars. The Jazz have two big stars. That's normally how it goes. And so when you look at the Bucks, you could say, oh, now I see where that comparison doesn't work. And playing the basketball they had during the regular season, this is now, they're one game away from this being the third postseason in a row where it wasn't enough, where a team that had more star power was able to take advantage, and they can't do in the playoffs what they can do in the regular season, because games come down to the final minutes, and a couple of games are always going to come down to the last couple of possessions, and the Bucks don't really have somebody where you can say, okay, this guy's getting the ball, and here's where it goes. Because if you give it to Giannis, he could wind up on the free throw line. Don't want Giannis on the free throw line, right? But if he has to settle for a jumper, that's good. That's a win for you as well. And how many times do we see that tonight where Harden is in front of him and he's taking a jumper? It's like, what are you doing, man? Harden is in front of you. The guy can't even move. And even if he can move, he wouldn't do anything. And
he's like a blocking dummy playing football. It's run around him.
It's just baffling to see that this is what happens to this team. As good as they are in the regular season, what happens to them in the playoffs? Because they just don't have that. They're not a playoff tested team, like or a playoff-proof team is what I want to say. Because certain teams in the regular season, all right, we're not built for the regular season, but in the playoffs, we're built for the playoffs. But most teams you see, hey, we are built for regular season success. And when it comes to the playoffs, things are different for many different reasons. And the Bucks are that shining example the last couple of years of teams that, hey, they're built for regular season success, right? One night out of 82, it happens. But are you built for the playoffs? Now, they're one game away from, again, we're going home in the second round of the playoffs, and we're falling short again with Giannis, and we don't know what we're doing because we completely put a new cast in following last year because it wasn't enough, and now here's a new cast in, still with Middleton, but we bring in Drew Holiday and other players, and still that's not going to be enough. Are they going to change again next season? I mean, really, the Bucks and the Clippers are kind of the same teams where, is this mix good enough? Are we good enough? Are we playoff good enough? But boy, tonight with the Bucks, I mean it. I watch Giannis and I go, how much does this team just really just need to say, hey, we're going to move on? Like, we'll trade Middleton and Drew Holiday to go get an absolute superstar to come in and play? I mean, that might be what they need, and to give Giannis a little bit less responsibility when it comes to the end of games in the playoffs, because he's not that guy. And you're going to have to win a couple of games at the end of your in the playoffs in a series to be able to move on. And when you have the closers that can make those shots, you're going to win. And Giannis isn't that guy.
Getting ready for a 5-year, $228 million contract. We talked about it with Rick Bucher last hour, the idea that maybe he and Budenholzer don't see eye to eye. It's something we've been talking about for a while. Would he become the fall guy, no matter how well they played in the regular season? Well, after this loss and you see a little bit of unraveling, and the fact that when he's asked about guarding Durant, Giannis said, I'd like that challenge. It's like, so you didn't ask for it in game? You didn't go to coach, say, hey, let me go check this guy? Your first all-NBA team, your first all-NBA defense, and you don't ask for that assignment in what could have been a huge game, right? You got a one-leg James Harden walking up and down the court. Joe Harris is shooting for nothing. Bruce Brown, our guy, did nothing offensively. I mean, Jeff Green was fantastic, second game back from injury, so good for him. But with the game on the line and game six at home, where you could have been in a closeout scenario, you gack away a 16-point lead, and you don't ask for the responsibility of taking on the number one guy and slowing him down. Mm. It's bad business, and speaks pretty badly of what's going on that sideline.
Mm. I'll tell you this. How about this? How about this three-way trade? And who says no? You ready?
Who ends up
three-way
with the
trade,
Knicks?
Right, three-way trade, and who says that? Of course the Knicks are involved. Come on, man. Of course the Knicks are involved. But this three-way trade, who says no? Okay.
All right, let's go.
The Knicks get Damian Lillard. Okay? We'll start off with that. The Knicks get Damian Lillard.
Of course
right?
they do.
So the Knicks send Tom Thibodeau to the Bucks. Okay? The Bucks send Middleton and Holiday to the Blazers. And they use some of that money to go out and sign a star. They don't have to pay Middleton and Holiday to go out and sign a star to play with Giannis. Who says no?
That's funny.
There we go. I mean, I've just turned three teams into NBA title favorites.
Yeah, but now you traded the defensive specialist coach to a team that just needed a defensive identity, but you took away the offensive firepower.
Come on, you got to give to get, Mike. You got to give to get. Come on, man. You got to listen. I make fair trades in fantasy, man. Sure. I'm not one of those. I'm not Michael Fabiano who calls you up and says, "Hey, I need a running back." Okay, well, you know, what do you want? I want Austin Eckler. Okay, well, what are you going to give me? I'm going to give you Ty Johnson and Wayne Gallman. No, I'm not going to do that. What? No. I'll give you a fair trade. You got to give.
You
to
got
get,
Wayne
Mike
Gallman
Harmon.
Into the show. Good for you.
I'll give to get in that trade. Look at that. The Knicks get Damian Lillard, the Bucks get Thibodeau, and the Blazers get Middleton and Holiday, and the Bucks have money to go buy a new star to pair with Giannis.
You're out of your mind. Thibodeau wins an NBA Coach of the Year award. You're trading him around like he's an all-NBA MVP. Wait, what?
Buddy, I got to trade. Buddy, that's the whole thing. The art of the trade, buddies. You got to trade somebody when their value is at the highest. Okay, I mean, yeah. You got to trade someone in their values. And Tom Thibodeau's value is never going to be higher than it is right now. I mean, Coors is going to – it's never going to be higher than
right,
it is right
as soon
now.
As they tip off next year,
listen,
it
they're
starts
gonna hate
to
him in a
wane.
Year. They're going to hate him in a year anyway because they're
going to
be,
not
oh, my
year,
God,
buddy.
This whole thing. They're going to hate him
in a year. Over-under 30 games into this next season.
So make a move.
And if he holds any workouts during the heat of a New York summer – Coach, you at least put the AC on? Nope. We're grinding it out. You guys got a little fat and happy with your playoff appearance. Let's go.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Knicks get Lillard. Bucks get Thibodeau. Blazers get Middleton and Holiday. And the Bucks have money to go buy a new starter pair with Giannis.
You and your fever you dreams already.
There you go, man. Come on, man. Just think about it. Just think about it. How great is that? I sound like James Dolan when I'm talking. Now.
Come on.
Do I have to sign
go.
Off on this? Or can I just still play music? Can I do that? All right, great. 877-99 on Fox is the number, 877-996-6369. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Well, what did Kevin Durant have to say following his legendary performance tonight? Did he cite his own stats like LeBron? Did he start tweeting at the postgame press conference under burner accounts? Maybe. You'll hear it as we got a big block of Kevin Durant coming up next for you right here. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app. Fire it in there.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Now, before we hear from Kevin Durant, I'm going to throw this out there to be a little bit more serious here, you know, because, hey, that three-team trade I threw out there with Lillard and Thibodeau, and that's pretty fun. But what about this? Just think about this for a second, because it's kind of fun to think about. The Blazers trade Lillard to the Bucks for Middleton and Drew Holiday. The money will work.
Well, now that could be fun.
Lillard teams. Lillard and Giannis might be unstoppable together. And the Blazers say, okay, we lose Lillard, but we get two really good players. And, you know, McCollum's still really good. All right, we got some good. We've made our team good.
No,
and
they, remember, everybody wanted to trade off McCollum, man. What are you doing?
No. Look, I got to make the deal that's in front of me, Mike. And this is the one that's in front of me. You know,
it's like CJ was active on Twitter, too. He was wondering why Giannis wasn't guarding Durant at any point in this game, too. A lot of NBA players chiming in about the performances here. Ja Morant with the zippered closed mouth talking about some of the arguments, referring to the old who's the best player in the game. So everybody going, oh, you're going at LeBron. I'm like, this is good theater. I like all the young guys raising their hand going, let me get in on this.
Well, I got to throw this at you. This shows that you know nothing about the NBA.
Yeah.
What is more important, Giannis guarding Kevin Durant or making sure Joe Harris doesn't have a big night? I mean, you got to talk about what priorities are. Because
well,
he stood right next to Joe Harris on a lot of plays, Mike.
Well, he limited him to 1 out of 10 from
yes,
the field.
I mean,
so he
Joe
did a
Harris.
Hell of a job for anybody that was betting anything, any prop bets on Joe Harris tonight. He guaranteed they were losers. Beyond that,
Maybe that was the beginning of Giannis' press conference. We wanted to make sure that Joe Harris didn't beat us tonight.
That's
so,
right.
You know what?
Harris
check
was
going to
be a non-factor. We were going to get Kevin Durant, whatever he wanted. Just wanted to
check.
Make sure those spot-up shooters that stand in the corner didn't get their open looks.
Tonight was a victory. Hey, Joe Harris didn't beat us. Check. I did my job. I'd do it
I'm
again.
I'm sorry. I think he was 2 of 11. 2 of 11 for the night, right? Yeah. I just want to make sure I get that right. He was 2 of 11, 1 of 7 from 3-point range. Mm. Either way, a huge victory for Giannis there.
Yeah.
I mean, look,
I
shut down the league's top 3-point shooter. Which is technically true because Joe Harris was number one in terms of percentage, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, I mean, you check. It's a big victory for Giannis. Big victory. But clearly the big victory tonight for the Nets, 114-108 over the Bucks. It's a great night for Kevin Durant, who is going to get even with everybody he's ever wanted to get even with on social media. And for Giannis, he needs to just stay away for a while and wonder, if this series ends and I go home in 7 again, again, am I really a 1A instead of a 1 player? That's the big thing. But how about Kevin Durant? 49, 17 rebounds, 10 assists. Let's listen to some of him as he met the media just a couple of moments ago as he talked about his legendary night. Maybe the night he'll know is where, hey, this is the night that me and Harden went for 54 points between the two of us. I mean, I scored 49, but James also went for 5. Let's hear from KD.
Hamstring is one of those injuries that it takes a while to heal, but he came out there and toughed it out, and had 8 assists, 6 rebounds. Missed some good looks all night, and I know his legs gonna get back under him as time, next few days or so. So hopefully next game he start to knock some of those shots he usually make down, and we got our work cut out for us in Game 6. Man, it's gonna be the toughest game of the year.
Greg Logan with Newsday.
Kevin, obviously, James wasn't himself in terms of his ability to drive to the basket, and that seemed to throw you guys off in the first half. Was there a conscious decision that you made, just to sort of initiate the offense and to go through you again to get it going in the second half the way you did?
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to we know he's coming off a tough injury and being out for so long, and we trust James handling the ball and setting people up so much that we probably put too much on him in that first half. But I think he settled down in the second, got his legs, got his rhythm. And I was able to help him a little bit as well, handling the ball. So did Landry, so did Bruce, so did Jeff. I think we all took turns, so we're going to need that going forward.
Christian Winfield with the New York Daily News.
Hey, Kevin, how do you feel after having a game like this? Not necessarily physically, although you played 48 minutes, but like mentally and emotionally, how do you feel after hanging 49 and 48 minutes?
I mean, we got another game. We got to travel tomorrow, and we got a game 6. I mean, I can't celebrate because we won a game. We got another game to try to finish it up.
Vincent Goodwill, Yahoo Sports.
Hey, Kevin, I'm just curious, when you were reading the game early on and you were being more facilitator than scorer, was that something that you planned to do from the start of the game, just sort of to read it, to get Jeff involved, to get easier looks at everybody else, and then sort of rev it up in the second half? Because that's the way it looked like you played out.
Yeah, it did look that way, but I didn't plan on doing that. I always try to be aggressive to get to my spots to score, and I think that settles my teammates down as well. But this team does a lot of helping and a lot of swarming in the paint. So, previous games, I may have forced a couple shots over two people, and I could have, threw out for a hockey assist maybe tonight. So, just keep watching films, keep seeing where the defense coming from. And but at the end of the day, I still got to be aggressive.
Alex Schiffer, The Athletic.
Hey, Kevin, I got two for you. You talked about playing the whole game. Did you tell Steve before the game, I can go as long as you need me to, or was it you looked up at one point and realized you hadn't come out and realized you were good? Just, I guess, what was the dialogue like about you playing the whole game, and Steve said that you were cool with it?
Yeah, we never talked about it. I mean, Coach, we always had dialogue about minutes throughout the season of, like, maybe you should pull me here for a couple minutes, or maybe you should keep me in. And so tonight I went to him, and him and Coach Vaughn just asked me if I needed a couple and that they were going to take me out. And I was like, yo, if y'all don't need to, I'm cool. I think I can kind of tough it out from here. But I was cool with anything they wanted to do, and they decided to keep me in.
All right, so there's Kevin Durant, and there lies the game when it comes to how Durant was able to play 48 minutes and score 49 points, all right? Much like we always go back to, boy, how did Kobe Bryant score 81 points? Well, when you single cover him the entire game and Kobe gets hot, that's what's going to happen. How is Steph Curry knocked out of the playoffs? Because when it comes down to the end of games, teams roll coverages towards him and he's got to get through two guys. He's a tiny guy and he's not going to get his shot off, so he's got to find a way to facilitate. Kevin Durant needed to be hounded and exhausted by the Bucks, and they didn't do it. He brought the ball up. Didn't matter. You're bringing the ball up. Everything's fine. We'll get you when you get over half court. When he would get the ball, you knew he was coming around looking for some kind of three. He was chased by one defender. You needed to roll stuff towards him to exhaust him, because that's the strategy that's worked all the time with James Harden. Why has James Harden failed so much in the postseason? Because by the time it gets to the end of the games, James Harden is tired. And he's too tired, and he can't make shots. He doesn't run for the basketball. And it's done because they ask him to do too much, and he is hounded by the other team. They didn't do that with Durant tonight. They let Durant kind of do his thing one-on-one. It's like, all right, I get maybe in the beginning of the game, but at some point when you realize, okay, this is Kevin Durant or nobody else, okay. Yes, I know Jeff Green is having a good night, but somebody else has to score a couple of points. But it's not Jeff Green is not going to beat us. All right, we have to make sure that we are exhausting Kevin Durant, especially to get if they get him out of the game for 3 minutes, maybe the game's different. I don't get how the best player on the court, by far, one of the top three players in the game when he's healthy, easy, is just allowed to go up and down the floor and not have to exhaust himself. There's a reason why guys don't play 48 minutes a night, right? There's a reason why LeBron doesn't play 48 minutes a night, because he can't, because there's too much wear and tear on him, because they try to other teams try to throw so many different looks at him to mentally exhaust him and physically exhaust him, and the Bucks didn't do it tonight, and I don't get why. I don't get why they just say, okay, we're good with just one guy. We're good with just Middleton on him. We're good with it. We're good with not putting Giannis on him at any point. Nothing else was working. How do you not put Giannis on him in the fourth quarter? Nothing else was working. We put everybody else on him we possibly could. We tried to put guys on him that weren't even on the team anymore, and it didn't work for us. We tried to put Glenn Robinson on him. It didn't work. We tried to put Glenn Robinson 2 on him. It didn't work. Anybody named Glenn Robinson?
Well, then you brought in the trilogy, Glenn Robinson the 3rd. Yeah.
We tried, and nothing worked. And that, you know, when you get to this point in the playoffs, sometimes I look at coaching decisions and I go, this is me watching from 2,000 miles away or 3,000 miles away. How do I see this and nobody else does? That's a full coaching staff that's on there. Or, you know, or guys on TV see it as well, whether it's Barkley or Shaq or Bell. How do you not see that in the moment? Boy, you got to do something to stop Kevin Durant. What are we going to do? We just think, well, eventually he's going to start missing? I mean, eventually it's, I mean, what, right. that's a great strategy to have. Maybe he'll miss. Oh, that's, now you know why the Bucks haven't won. Because you see a night like tonight and you go, there were so many things they could have done to slow Kevin Durant down and they didn't do it.
Well, we talked about the stats he had at halftime. Was already having a monster night, even with being down as much as they were. It's like, all right, they're going to make a run. It's the NBA. Very rarely does a team just lie down. And we've seen it a few times, don't get me wrong. But there's at least an effort. And you know he's not going down without at least a big swing or two. And the shots started falling, pulling up for threes and facilitating. I love the use of the term hockey assist, right? Get the ball around the perimeter, get an extra pass, get an open man, make a shot. And that's what you saw with Jeff Green, right? A couple of standing in the corner. Hey, here's the extra touch. And nobody's rotated. Somehow they're still hanging out around Harden. Hey, good decoy. He looked good. Maybe they wanted to have a conversation or see what he would do to try to draw a foul when he couldn't elevate at any level. But, yeah, you got to do anything to get Durant off his mark. And for a team that prides itself on bully ball and defense, you didn't see it from the Bucks at all. And with the advantage that they had coming into the second half, just didn't make any sense to me. Slow down possessions. Get inside, work with Lopez and the other trees, and make something happen. And instead, you got Giannis catching the ball out to start every possession just inside the three-point arc. It's like, all right, go ahead. You want to take a shot? Have at it. And he went 14-22. Good on him. But you know, when it was crunch time, there was a lot of standing around. And for the Nets, they didn't bother to adjust, and this goes on Budenholzer. How do you not adjust to try to do anything to limit Kevin Durant and make one of these other guys? We talked about it. Three of your starters between Harden and Joe Harris and Bruce Brown, they went 4 of 26, and you didn't force the ball into their hands for shots. It makes no sense.
Hey, look, Giannis had to shut down Joe Harris and Bruce Brown. Okay, that clearly was what they wanted to
make sure. Well, he took out two guys. That's great. The other guy, you know, the guy that actually scores, the guy that's in the conversation as best player in the NBA when his body is right, and we have seen him put on a few performances in these playoffs to get everybody raising that eyebrow going, you know, forgot about Dre. No, you forgot about Kevin Durant, and he's letting you know it.
I really, and you know, we talked to Rick Bucher, and you're going to hear from Rick Bucher coming up in about 45 minutes here on the show. When you hear him say things like, you know, you see Giannis and Budenholzer, they don't talk to each other. They don't talk on the sidelines about anything, and all the other stars, they talk to their coach about what's going on, and there's got to be some kind of disconnect. These guys aren't on the same page. Yeah, there's clearly something going on, because I don't get how this was the strategy tonight. You're watching Kevin Durant go nuts, and you said, okay, we'll just keep doing the same thing on him. Just keep doing the same thing. It's not
definition
working.
Definition of insanity,
matter.
Smith. What is it?
Like doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Do I get 100? Do I get an A+?
Yeah. Yeah, I will give you full credit for that
Thank
answer.
Thank you, buddy. I'm digging that.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, stop. You're going to make people just walk into the ocean.
It's hypnotic, and I love it.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show, with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Sir, I'd like to spank your bald head and lick it.
We have two fiery takes on James Harden's night and Giannis's night. Not James Harden, on Kevin Durant's night and Giannis's night coming up.
I got
in a couple
fiery
minutes.
One on James Harden, too.
You got a fiery one? You're fire fall.
Yeah, you know why?
Fire. Why is that?
Look, remember the old adage, you get 80% for showing up. Mm. Good on him, man.
Yeah, it's all you got to do sometimes. Just be
hey,
there.
Decoy of the night, 46 minutes, and he was hypnotic to the Bucks. They couldn't figure out what to do. It's like, is he going to do something? Remember that Simpsons episode with all the fights? Like the mob and Homer and Marge are looking through the window. And she goes, nothing's happening. It's like, that guy's going to do something. And all these guys are fighting around him and he's just standing there. And then all of a sudden you hear the scream and the thuds. It's like, I told you he was going to do something cool.
Same Wait, thing. was that the one where Bill Gates bought out Homer's computer company? Buy him out, boys.
No, I think it was a different one. I think this was Fat Tony and, just a battle of different mobs in the larger Springfield area. Homer wanted to watch as it unfolded on his front lawn.
Okay.
And there was one guy that was just standing there watching the action. It's like, he's going to do something. I think that's how the Bucks were with James Harden. It's like, he's going to do something. So we really have to pay attention. Over
there. So we'll have Harden, we'll have Giannis, we'll have KD coming up in a couple of minutes. But tonight we watched something that I just want to shake my head and go, really? Marv Albert did the game tonight on TNT. It was a thriller, and it was an incredible night. And we watched the Nets honor him. And he got a nice big ovation from the crowd. It was great because Marv Albert has done Nets and Knicks games for the past 45 years. So here's the Nets who have honored Marv Albert, and still the Knicks have done absolutely nothing for a guy who was synonymous with Knicks basketball for almost 50 years. And James Dolan and the Knicks have decided, nope, not going to do anything. Marv Albert. The Nets, when the Nets do something first, I mean, what does that tell you? I mean, really, I get that James Dolan hasn't been around and that's really been a great thing. Like, you know, because I'm sure what Leon Rose did was like set him up with a fake tour. And all it was look, you go play all these clubs and we're going to give you money to go on this tour because we know you like to play music and that's your whole thing and just stay away from basketball. So we're going to put you on a 10-month tour of places like Albania, and then you're going to go to Austria, and then we're going to have you go to Greenland, and then you're going to play in Finland and all these little clubs that nobody's there. Hey, it's live entertainment. What do we care? Oh, we're going to spend all this money to keep you away from the NBA. Look how good the Knicks are. When James Dolan didn't get involved this year, they won 41 games, finished in fourth place, made the playoffs. But really, nothing for Marv Albert. The day after it was all the Knicks are out, they didn't do anything for him. You think, okay, there's going to be a change. Nope. Not going to alter, not going to pivot and say, hey, here's something for Marv Albert. Zero. 0. A spectacular move by the Nets tonight. Still nothing from the Knicks. Blank them. I should have never called their games. I should have worked for Mike Kaminsky for my entire career. Timeout, Marv Albert. I just got Mike Kaminsky into this episode.
Yes!
Well done. I dug the fact. Here's a framed jersey. Here's a we love you. Here's a we're not coming back here for game 7, so let's get it in now. All of those things are fantastic. I like when I threw that up at Rick. He'll use that tomorrow morning on television. But he didn't. You know, he wasn't giving me the love for it here. But just the idea that you have to recognize all that time, all those huge moments, all the calls. Hell, for all of us that have been watching him since we were babies, I mean, that's a big deal. And your Knicks couldn't be bothered.
No, no, but everybody.
Not even a lousy letter or a call.
No, I took all your pictures off the wall. Patrick Ewing's picture off the wall. John Starks, no. I took down Charles Oakley, gone. Everybody, Xavier McDaniel, off the wall. Michael Ray Richardson, off the wall. Everyone, Ray Williams is off the wall. All of them are gone. They've now been replaced by pictures of Edgar Jones and Jan Van Bredekhoff.
Don't forget about the autographed Michael Jackson album.
Off the wall. I was gonna go there, but I couldn't figure out a way to get to the, you know, a sensational album by the King. I couldn't get to that. I couldn't do
okay,
it.
Well, you know what? I just wanted to make sure you didn't forget. Because it was
and wait till TNT.
Because that would have been more a Berman than a Marv Albert anyway.
It might have been. I think you're right about that. It could have been more of a Berman than a Marv Albert.
But I'll give him credit. I think I would have taken to the microphone at some point and said, at least I got a jersey from these guys. Where's my Knicks?
And wait till my TNT send-off. It's going to be epic and still. The Knicks will deny I ever worked for them. Timeout, James Dolan. He stinks out loud. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. Coming up next, oh, we got some fiery stuff on Harden and KD and Giannis. Keep it right here. This is Fox.